Welcome to the Second Mom's Circle. I'm Dawn Baggett, your host, and as an adoptive mom myself and a post-adoption mom coach, I want you to feel welcome here as this is a safe space for you, adoptive moms who are maybe finding yourself in the gap. What is the gap? Well, the gap is something that I identified not only in my own life and my own family, but also in many, many others. And it happens that as adoptive moms, we often find ourselves in a gap with inadequate or even almost non-existent support and ineffective support in our roles as adoptive mom. It kind of feels like the rug is just pulled out from under you sometimes. So if that's something that you can relate to, let's dive in. Rebellion divides. Repentance restores. Of course, we can't compel repentance, true repentance. I've considered two Bible passages on this topic of rebellion and our responses to rebellion as parents. One, the parable of the prodigal son, and the second one about the good shepherd. In the first passage, the father of the prodigal son watched and waited for his rebellious son to return home. In the second, the good shepherd left the other 99 sheep to search and find the one lost sheep. So it appears there are more than one way to respond rightly to rebelliousness. In both cases, there was great rejoicing at the restoration afterward. What guidance do these two passages provide for parents of a rebellious young person? So let's start with the definition of the word rebellious. The American Heritage Dictionary gives three different definitions, and the third one, is most pertinent to our families and our family situations. It says, characterized by or expressing resistance to or defiance of authority or convention. And an example given is a rebellious teenager. So that's going to be our working definition. Characterized by or expressing resistance or defiance of authority or convention. Defiance of authority. That sounds like rebellion. So the question I have, both personally with my own rebellious children and as I share with other moms in my role as Christian post-adoption coach, has been, what course of action is best and right when our children rebel? Thinking about these two passages, when should we watch and wait, and when should we search and find? And how do we discern between them? Where's the dividing line? Well, I can't give you a definitive answer. Obviously, these two passages are illustrating God's stance as the loving Father in one and the Good Shepherd in the other. Of course, we aren't God, and yet we can look to pattern our parenting after the perfect parent as much as we can, knowing that even God in His perfect love has some who rebel and some who never repent. The Good Shepherd passage from Luke 15 was a parable given in response to the religious authorities' accusatory complaints that Jesus kept company with, quote, sinners. It says, both the Pharisees and the scribes began muttering and complaining, saying, this man accepts and welcomes sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost, searching until he finds it?
So in this case, it seems like the quote-unquote sinners that Jesus has been keeping company with and accepted and welcomed and eat with them, that they were not resistant to his authority or to his company, and that they were open to Jesus. And in the parable about the good shepherd, that the sheep was not necessarily resisting the authority of the shepherd, or at least not still resisting the shepherd's authority, but was open, responsive to the shepherd. And perhaps even maybe he was stuck in a trap or in a hole or under a branch or something and couldn't get out and couldn't save himself. He was lost. As a parable goes, it relates to our lostness before Jesus is our Savior, becomes our Savior. And so the sheep may have appeared to be in rebellion, but nevertheless, when Jesus appears, the sheep is not continuing to resist his authority. And so in the next passage, the passage with the prodigal's father, also found in Luke chapter 15, Luke 15:20 says, "And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him." So even in this example, whereas the prodigal son had definitely been defiant and definitely been rebellious, in this verse, he had stopped being defiant and rebellious, and he was submissive and coming and returning to his father. And the father's response of watching and waiting had, I guess you could say, paid off in that the prodigal did return, but the father had not gone out to search for him and gone out to try to get him to come back and get him to return. And so these are two different responses. The good shepherd's response to search and find versus the prodigal's father of watching and waiting. So some questions may help us as we prayerfully consider the best course of action when we're dealing with a child who's rebellious or seems to be rebellious. The first question is this: is it all-out rebellion? Is this an isolated incident? Is it immaturity? Is it just a tendency to be childish and wander? Or is it a deliberate throwing off of all authority? Is it a deliberate and willful resistance and rebellion? Another question is, how old? How old is this person? How old goes along with how vulnerable they might be? One who's too young to fend for themselves is too young for a watch and wait course of action. Whether they've run away from home or skipping classes at school, there's a parental responsibility to search and find and bring them back under the necessary adult supervision. And so age and stages of maturity have to do with what the right response would be. Other questions we might ask is, whose responsibility? As children age, they naturally take on more responsibility for their own choices and their own behaviors. And what are the risks? Are the natural consequences or the risks of what they're doing outweighed by letting them take their time and letting them go their own way and make their own choices and hoping that they'll come back around eventually? And then what are your necessary boundaries? Because you do have responsibilities, not only to your child, but to yourself, to your household, to the other people in your home. And so what are your necessary boundaries? And does this mean that you take a watch and wait stance or a different stance? These and other questions are ones we can consider depending on the situation. But it's worth it to really prayerfully consider what your response might be. You might be getting different kinds of advice, and you might want to just realize that responding to rebelliousness is not a one-size-fits-all issue. Regardless of the advice that you've gotten, you prayerfully decide how to respond. And as you do, then you can respond with godly discernment and confidence in the face of rebellion. Thank you for listening to this episode of Second Mom's Circle. You can read the companion blog post and more at the website at dawnbaggett.com. Also, please leave a review and follow the podcast if you found this valuable. I'm Dawn Baggett, and as always, keep learning, keep growing, and keep loving.